reading from verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, say fallen.
Fallen.
Repent, say repent.
Repent.
And do the first works, say first works.
First works.
Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, as you probably know, this bit of scripture is from Jesus' revelation to the churches through John. And I don't know if you've read these first three chapters of Revelation recently, but I'm always a little bit shocked. I'm always a little bit I'm challenged whenever I read Jesus' last words to the church. He uses the word repent a lot, speaking to the church. He talks about what he hates. And he's actually quite a lot of correction in his words to the seven churches. There's a few things here I just want to pick out. He starts on the positive. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. Interesting. You've tested those who say they're apostles and are not. You know, there's a lot of discernment here going on in Ephesus that's admirable. Okay, calling out evil against good, calling out the false versus the true, calling out the liars, even amongst people who say they're the people of God. Perseverance, patience, you know, really admirable virtues being displayed here. Laboring for his name's sake, you know, that's effectively doing the works of the kingdom, not even becoming weary in the midst of that. It says, nevertheless, verse 4, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. And then he says, remember from where you've fallen. You know, there's a falling that's gone on here. And the word that I had for this evening is that it's not good enough just to believe in Jesus. It's not good enough just to be part of a church. I didn't even say go to church. I mean be part of a church. We need to be in love with Jesus.
Amen.
That's what a Christian is. A Christian's not someone who goes to church, not even part of a church, not even doing the works of the ministry. A Christian is someone who loves Jesus.
Amen.
By the way, with everything. And the church, actually, I don't want to necessarily talk about where we're at, mainstream in the West, or whatever you want to call it, because I'm not sure that's very helpful, but broad brushstrokes, we have fallen a long way from that. There's a lot of churchianity around, there's a lot of, I would say, we're going to touch briefly on Revelation 3 and the Laodicean church, because there was a lukewarmness there as well. They were in love with other things. And really, the test is always our heart. Where is our heart feeding? Where is our heart pointing? What's the first thing? What's the first love? And they'd fallen. They'd left their first love. Remember, he says, where you've fallen from. Repent. Change your thinking. Change your attitude. Change your behavior. and do the first works. Go back to the first things. The Message version. But you walked away from your first love. Why? What's going on with you anyway? Do you have any idea how far you've fallen? A Lucifer fall. Turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste, for I'll be well on my way to removing your light from the golden circle. Jesus says in Matthew 22 and verse 37, when he's speaking about the great commandment, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Basically everything you have within you, love God. That's life, and a life in abundance. It's loving God with everything, and being loved, and loving, and being loved, and loving. And there are so many things that can come in the way and take from that first love. Draw us away, entice us away. Some of them look noble. These guys in Ephesus, they were doing good stuff. But their heart direction, the fragrance of their heart had changed. And what you love, you will talk about. Who you love, you will spend time with. Everything will comes from that place of loving the Lord. And he says in Matthew 22, verse 38, this is the great commandment. Before we love our neighbor, before we do anything else, it's the first and great commandment to love God with everything. I want to encourage you to root yourself in that truth, that way of life, but also to encourage others into that. You know, we need to be ones who lead the way, who bring correction, who bring teaching, who bring exhortation, who bring reproof and rebuking where it's needed. It's no good just to be a pushover. It's no good just to allow our brothers and sisters to wander into error, where it's a form of godliness, but there's denial of power. There's a denial of the anointing. And that is the pressure that is coming against the church, always. It's religions, a religious spirit, political spirit. These are demons. These are enemies of the faith. Let's just whip over to Revelation 3 quickly, and I'm going to pass over to Duncan. Verse 14 from chapter 3. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I'll say that again. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Interesting. You see? Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and him with me. Message version from verse 15. I know you inside and out, and find little to my liking. You're not cold, you're not hot. Far better to be either cold or hot. You're stale, you're stagnant. We all know that feeling, don't we? When we're stale, we're stagnant, we're going through the motions. Again, it's it's that place of love, or lack of love, really. It's the lack of romance. It's the lack of fire. You can't make it up. You can't ritualize yourself into fire. It's your heart's involved or it isn't. And a staleness comes in, a stagnancy. You make me want to vomit. You brag, I'm rich, I've got it made, I need nothing from anyone. You see, independence. I'm successful. We've got to understand that the kingdom of what's highly esteemed amongst men is an abomination before God. That place of, well, I'm sorted, I'm independent. From a heavenly perspective, I mean, I can't even get close to, obviously, showing what that would look like. But considering God's holding all of us together at a subcellular level right now, for us to say we don't need anything because we've got a nice pair of kits, a nice house, or whatever it is absurd, isn't it? Just from our tiny intellectual perspective, we've missed it. We think we see nothing. We need eye salve. We need gold. We need garments from heaven. Yes. We've missed it.
Yeah.
And that's where so many, that's the spirit of the age that we're in. It's the pressure that we live amongst. In London, more than most places in the world, that sense of independence and pride and consumerism and materialism. And then it creeps into the church, and we become the Laodicean church. We're lukewarm, insipid in our message, crowd-pleasing in our preach. And there's no power there. There's no revival. Because we're just taken out with our compromise, with our allegiance. There's a spiritual reality here. And it's a big deal. Here's what I want you to do. Buy your gold from me. You know, not go to the places we go to, the places of worship in the world. Gold that's been through the refiner's fire. We're talking about holiness, we're talking about obedience, we're talking about a consecrated lifestyle. It's not always comfortable, but it will bring Christ-like quality. It will bring the salt and the light that the world is looking for, and the Lord is looking at release through us. Buy your clothes from me, clothes designed in heaven. You've gone around half naked long enough. That's a spiritual reality, obviously. We're not half naked in the flesh. We're naked spiritually in the invisible. And buy medicine for your eyes for me so you can really see. The people I love, I call to account, prod and correct and guide so that they'll live at their best. Up on your feet then, about face. Run after God. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you that you are a lover. I thank you that you're a consuming fire. I thank you that you have so much for us, God. You're so patient. You have so much for us, Lord. You have so much for this nation. And I pray, Lord, you'd forgive us where we have been lukewarm, Lord, where we've left our first love, we've forgotten where we've fallen from.
Jesus.
Lord, I pray that you would give us grace and mercy to have a fresh hunger for you, Lord, that we would have foreheads like flint, God, not looking to left nor right. Spirit, we'd have discernment, Lord, and that we would be ones who are able to discern good and evil, God, and that we would be full of faith, full of fire, and real lovers of you, God, that we'd just be lovers of you, Jesus. Show us your beautiful face, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as Duncan shares from his heart, Lord, on aspects of healing, aspects of your atonement, Lord, aspects of the kingdom of God coming in power. Pray, bless him, Lord, bless his words. Give us ears to hear.
Amen.
Show us, Lord, what you paid for. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to stand up, I think. Helps. Okay, but I'm just going to pray just a 2 second. I thank you, Lord, for that one of them. session we had. Thank you for Dom. Thank you for grace. Thank you for love. Thank you for your gospel, Lord. Thank you for power and glory all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to... I don't know how long have I got. Have I should have got to time this or what? But
yeah,
time's it now?
Yeah.
So I don't want to kind of overrun.
Duncan's been very noble and stood up at very last late notice. I would say... Is it 8:38 now?
Okay.
Yeah.
So
maybe...
40 minutes.
Half an hour?
Yeah,
20 minutes, half an hour?
That's perfect, yeah. Half an hour. Okay, give me a shout if I'm going on too long, okay? Okay, so basically, I had this in mind, actually, but we're going to do this in about a month's time. So, and Dom asked me kind of last minute, when do I want to do this talk tonight? So I just did it. I just took some notes very quickly. I kind of know what I wanted to say, but I haven't put all the Bible references in. So you might, as I go through, you might want to shout them out if you hear something. Right? It's all biblical, but there might be little things that, you know, I might have forgotten the references or thing. Wherever I can, I'll pick up on it. But that's just a little aside. But let me just tell you a little bit about me and how I got into this very quickly. I got saved about 10 years ago in a very powerful way. My life flipped on sixpence. And so it's gone on from there. I'm 54 or something like that, and you know, I lived quite a raucous life before that. And so for me, this is very, very fresh still, thank God. And a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, I did a course with Dom, the Dragon Supernatural course. And around the time, actually, I began to look into the idea of healing. I got intrigued a little bit by that. I think God was putting on my heart. And I remember saying to my wife, I don't know, I just like found out about this healing thing. Why is it that some churches you go to, and everybody, in fact, every church you've ever been to, pretty much every Christian denomination, talks about healing, prays for healing, reads out lists of people in the area that need healing, and you hardly ever see it. And yet, there is healing, and there is healing everywhere. So why is this, and why is that? And that's kind of, that was the thing going through my mind. And so... I began to really pursue this thing, and my wife said to me, oh, check out Dom's notes, he's got a reference. and in Dom's notes, effectively, there was a word that said the summary book written in the last few decades on healing was written by a man called T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne, so I got into my wife ordered the book, read T.L. Osborne, from T.L. Osborne, I read, well, another one that he referred to that he got a lot of his instruction from, went back. And that was a chap called F.F. Bosworth, and lots of other references. It went off into a kind of thing, and I spent the last 3 years down this massive rabbit hole of healing, so that's what I got. So all my references have come through people who have got ministries that have been huge ministries that have made a massive difference and impact in their lives. A lot of people in modern days, and in the last 150 years. So there's a whole load of them, and... but as you know, like Wigglesworth and people like that, a guy called Jack Coe and John G. Lake, all these people. And then in more modern times, T.L. Osborne, who died last year, all these people have massive, massive healing ministries. And so very much put more together. I've also been blessed to have YouTube and watched like millions of videos on healing and people teaching on it. Everybody from Bill Johnson, I've also read all these books, I've read all the other people. Everybody's around today, Todd White, and then also hang out with people that have done quite a bit of healing, got out on the streets, seen some good healing stuff and whatever, and so I'm growing in that. So that's a bit of the background. My feeling of it all, and this is what I wanted to share, is that we mustn't, this is a very, very important thing. It is, as Dom's saying, it's one of the great things that's been lost from the church, in many ways the most compromised thing in the world, right? The denial of power, right, is actually denying of healing is so much the denial of power. Pretty much every real revival ever since the Roman Empire got taken over by the first disciples was accompanied with healing. In China today, people go to the underground churches to be healed, and then they hear the gospel, and they get healed. So this has always been, Jesus saw it as almost indivisible from the gospel. Gospel and healing, gospel and healing, gospel and healing. Jesus never said to anybody, go and find a good doctor, right? He said, go and heal the sick, go and heal the sick. He didn't say, go out and tell them where to find a good doctor. It didn't happen like that. He could have done, there were doctors at the time. Okay. So In my journey, the amazing thing is, it's been a real thing for me, but in this journey, it's really, the pursuit of healing has taught me the Gospels. It's the strangest thing. I went after the healing, and the healing taught me Gospel. And so it sort of did the opposite of what I thought. But I've come to realise that they're absolutely and utterly indivisible. And the reason, and this is a personal thing that I really believe that they are indivisible because Jesus came in the flesh, and the reason he came in the flesh was to show us that God cared and God loved us as we are. So God so loved the world that he sent his only son, right, so we might have eternal life. Yes, when from? Now, right? So the demonstration in the flesh is absolutely key, and that's why I think that there's healing and where Jesus took that. But it's a personal feeling, what I've learned really. And what I wanted to talk about today is that there are people, and we've all heard of and seen them and whatever it might be, who have strong gifts. You know, there's no doubt that there are people out there that have had special anointing gifts, and they can blow on somebody from the other side of the street and they get healed, right? That happens. It's certainly not my case, right? And it's not the bit that I'm interested in. Not that it isn't real, that's very real. But by and large, like all the gifts, they're given to the church, the gifts from the Spirit to the church to build it up. But we need to appropriate it, right, to be able to preach it, to live by it. We need to appropriate what that actually means and to stand on the word. So that was my short introduction, just kind of how I got there and where I'm going with it. As I go through it, if there's anything you want to say, don't mind, just jump in, because don't have to wait to the end. I'm going a bit quickly because I've written quite a few notes, and but if I'm going too fast as well, tell me to slow down. That's right. Okay?
That's great.
Okay. So basically what I've done is I've broken this up into four parts of this little talk, okay? And eventually, like I said, I want to break this out into a bigger talk. And perhaps a book. I'm writing a book at the moment on the Gospel, and I want to do this as if like a follow-up. But the four parts are, so first of all, I'm going to look at healing in the Scriptures. So healing... healing in the Scriptures, why healing, what is it about healing, what do we know about healing, what do the Scriptures say about healing. So that's my first part. The second part, I want to talk about faith, gift, and spirituality, and you'll see what I mean by that in a second. The third part I want to talk about is believing, authority, and obedience. So it's more from the point of view of the disciple, in other words, what do we do with it. So the second part, faith, gifts, and spirituality, really is what is it. What is the faith? What faith do we need? What is the gift? And what is spiritual about it? And how does the spiritual work in terms of healing, etc.? The last part is just some practical tips, activating faith and growing in faith for healing, and how that really works. So that's the way I've divided it up. So kicking off, so the first part is I'm just going to go quickly through the Scriptures. Again, I don't have all the references because I just wrote this down so quickly that I didn't have a gut of time. But if anything rings a bell, just shout it out, okay? The first thing I want to go to right in the beginning is in the beginning. So first of all, just to very quickly look at what is the Gospel, right? You know, what is the Gospel in a nutshell? Well, the Gospel in a nutshell often is talked about in four parts. I always like this four-part Gospel. So we kick off with Adam and Eve and the creation, right? Man made in God's image to walk with God with no sickness, no disease, and no evil, no sin, nothing. So man's walking in a perfect garden with God and made for fellowship with him, right? And there is no sickness at that point. The fall, Satan's deception, right, and the fall of man brings sin, evil, sickness, death into our lives, effectively. So we look at that. Then we look at the atonement. We look at Jesus. And when Jesus came in, what form? Why did Jesus come along? Jesus came to reconcile us back to God. Our sin stood in the way, right? We hid from God. We hide from God. Right? But he came back to wipe away our sin, to impart to us his righteousness, so we may be to go back to a loving and perfect God, right? And then ultimately, how we walk that out, the last part is actually our walk within that, our walk of faith, Holy Spirit, arriving with the Holy Spirit, and and the saving grace and life everlasting that we're so blessed to live in. In the atonement, there is healing, mm. right? But we'll come back to that in a second. First, we have to realize that the nature of God. What is the nature of God, right? Now, if I could say that to you, actually, if I was doing if I had a lot of time, I'd get a board up, because I've done this before, and just start to write down the nature of God. What did the Old Testament say? What do the scriptures tell us about the nature of God? Who is he? Well, he says, I am your shield. I am your provider. I am God of victory. I am the God of the... There are all these various words. And one of the words that he says that in the Old Testament name for God is Yahweh Rapha, which means I am the God who heals. Right. So we begin to look at the early scriptures. We begin to look at the life of the Old Testament, what it says about God, what it says about the nature of God, the God who heals. I am the God who heals you. Right. He also says, I am God. I change not. Right. I change not. So it's the same God we're looking at now. It's the same as the God of all time. We then look at, then we begin to look at the people of Israel as they come out of slavery from the Egyptians, and they're taken out in the desert. And there are many scriptures that tell us there wasn't one sick among them, not one sick among them. So we begin to look at the moment when they begin to walk in the grace of God, begin to walk without sickness. Okay. Then we begin to look at various other things. The Psalm. Which says, bless the Lord, of my soul, and I forget the number.
103.
103. And forget not all his benefits, right? And one of the benefits, of course, is he heals all our diseases. Mm. Notice the word all, because the word all goes all the way through the scriptures, right? So there are no favorites with God. We have Jesus, all the way through Jesus' ministry, he healed all of them. Mm. He heals all of them. He heals all of them. Never any left out, and it's very, very important we work together into us, right? So God is the same forever; he never changes. I change not, right? Then we have this picture of God sending Jesus, right? Jesus, and he said, he sent his word. He says, God sent his word and healed. God sent his word and healed. Who? What is his word? His word is Jesus, right? Jesus is the word, and so Jesus heals. Now, we quite often heard in our church, and I was brought up in that kind of really old-fashioned Church of England church and theology and all of that stuff, right? And I'm sure somewhere I picked it up, but they managed to get into me that, oh yes, but healing doesn't mean physical healing, it just means the healing of the soul. But that actually is not at all what the scriptures say. Time and time and time again. You can go through them, you can go back, forward, all over the place, and I've just actually only got a few down here. Right, so... We have the crippled man who came through the roof, who was lowered down by the roof, through the roof, and
Mark 2.
And then Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "So that you know that I have all authority to forgive sin, right? You get up and get up and walk." And he says, so Jesus clearly not making the distinction between the healing of the soul through sin, the healing of sin.
Sorry, God.
God bless.
Great to see
you. So we have that, and so Jesus clearly not making the distinction between the two, right? So that I have all authority, so that you know that I have all authority, get up on your mat, take your mat and walk. So we have this idea that so Jesus clearly showing that he has authority over both, amen, and he links the two. Okay, we know that Jesus said he came to destroy all the works of the devil. Right, we know the nature of the devil. As we know the nature of God, we know the nature of the devil. The devil came to kill, steal, and to destroy. Right, we know that Jesus said that when he was accused of healing in the name of the devil, he said the kingdom cannot be divided against itself. Right, so when people come up to you and you hear it every now and then, I've heard it in theologians say that healing can be from the devil and all that stuff. Fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't think that way around. He said a kingdom cannot be divided against itself. The nature of the devil is to kill, steal, and to destroy in the flesh, right, as well as the rest. So we go through this kind of stuff. Jesus only ever did what he saw his Father doing. So we have the nature of God represented in perfect imperfection with Jesus Christ, right? And he always healed, right? Okay. So we've got all this. I'm going to go rush for it now. The next piece is, this is the most important thing, and you've probably heard it before, but it is the most important piece of scripture around healing. And the reason it's the most important thing is because of where it comes in. So we have Isaiah 53 that talks about the atonement on the cross, right? He was bruised for our iniquities. The transgressions were upon him, right? And by his stripes we are healed. Important to note, if it's in the past, we are healed. It's done, right? When then we zoom forward and we go to the gospel. So we're talking about during Christ's life, right, and during his ministry. We have Matthew 8:16-17, and Matthew says that Jesus did these healings, referring to a healing, did these healings so that the prophecy would be fulfilled by his stripes, are healed. So you have twice, you have in the prophecy of Isaiah, and you have Matthew referring, right, to Jesus healing somebody in the physical, right, and referring to the atonement on the cross. We then have second wine forward to after the cross. I have 2 Peter, where he says the same thing again. So we have, I always think that's absolutely key. You've got the prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament. You have Matthew, while Jesus was alive, right, confirming that why he was healing, that healing was to confirm that piece of scripture. And then you have post the cross, after the cross, you have 2 Peter, where he refers to the same thing. So clearly,
by the way,
clearly,
Peter,
clearly,
he says, you were healed as well.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Wow.
You were healed.
You were healed.
So this is really, really important stuff. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to move out of this. There are lots of other scripture. I have come that you may have life. Jesus, if it is your will, when the leper says to Jesus, if it be your will, you can heal me. Jesus said, I will. So we have the will of God, will of Jesus lining up, and we go through tons and tons, greater works than this you will do. Jesus said to his disciples, because I go to the Father, if you don't believe me, believe the miracles, Jesus said. He sent out the 12, he sent out the 72, he sent out all his followers, he gave them all authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick. He said, you will heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So it goes on and on and on. We then see in the book of Acts, what they know is the believer's prayer, the boldness. They pray for boldness to preach the gospel and for signs and wonders, right, so they may believe. We have like tons of scripture where we see the apostles healing. We're all apostles. Right? We're certainly all of them. It's certainly his flock, and it's been his will to show us his kingdom, and you know this is part of the kingdom life. So, you know, so this is really all key. Lastly, and I just think this is really important. There's lots of other stuff. Well, lastly, there's a little piece in Revelations, and I could, again, if I could find out, I'd give it to you. But basically, and this is what Bill Johnson says, one of the most key things is where Jesus prophesies. What Jesus speaks is prophesied, right? And when he prophesies, it will come to pass. Whether you like it or not. And I always think that when Jesus says to his disciples, you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. Mm. You will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. It's a prophecy. It's setting it in motion. It can't go back, right? And it's the same thing with the healing. When he sent the 72 out to heal, right? And when he sent to us to go out and heal, he said, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He's prophesying that through that, that's the activation of that prophecy. It can't not happen. But it's for us to take up and to go with it. So that's the scripture. I can, you know, I can go on for hours about it, but that's it. And you know, I need to do more work on it, to be honest with you, if I go through it to get the scriptures, the things. But that is the long and short of it. Okay. I want to go on to the next part, which is. Just very quickly, so I'll go through these next bits quite quickly. So The next ones I've called faith, gifts, and spirituality. One thing that I've learned from all these various people that I've watched and listened to and allowed, and then the scriptures themselves and whatever, is that, and it's a bit of a, there are lots of, if you like, because of bad teaching, because of not understanding, and because of people making stuff up, and because also it's such a difficult field to go into, there's been a lot of rubbish around. And one of them is that God uses sickness to kind of teach people a lesson, right? And it is absolute rubbish. It's just not. There's no scripture that back that up. It's just something that's floated around in the church over the centuries, and it clearly is a kind of how can I say? It's definitely the a tradition of men, really, rather than anything scripture about it. There's nothing in it. It's not just not true. It's not the nature of God. God, you wouldn't use the devil's tricks, right, to bring somebody to whatever. I just don't believe that's true. I think that sickness is part of the fall of man. That's it. And that's, you know, we can't pin that on God. All sickness, likewise, comes from the enemy. Now, there's an important qualification in that. If you're a Holy Spirit-filled Christian, right, you can and will be attacked physically, as well as everybody else, right? But you can't be possessed, and that is a really important thing to remember as well. So we cannot in any way be occupied or possessed by a devil, right? We can be attacked by a devil, but we can't be possessed by one. It's just a very important thing, because again, I've heard some stupid teaching on that stuff, and it's just not true. Right? You can have a spirit that's harassing you, definitely. But one of the things is that's very important. And lastly, what is really, really key in this, in that is that we build our faith. One of the reasons that when we see churches praying for healing, right, is because, and they never see results, is because fundamentally they don't believe in it, right? And I know that sounds a bit crazy, but the truth is we wouldn't get very far if we didn't believe in the remission of sin, right? If we went around preaching remission of sin, but we didn't actually believe in it, or believe in it for ourselves. We need to appropriate the Gospels for ourselves.
Yes.
It either says it or it doesn't. Right? Jesus either came, died on the cross, or he didn't. The kingdom's either come or it hasn't. Right? The heavens are either rent or they're not. Right? All these things are absolutely key. Right? And we live by faith and not by sight. Right? So we have to appropriate this stuff. We have to make our mind up. We have to decide whether we believe on it. And if we believe on it, we go with it. And if we go with it, that's because it's scriptures, right? And so I think that, you know, this is actually what I'm getting. This is the crux, actually, what I'm talking about now. And sadly, I've so often been in so many churches and see so many churches where they're praying for stuff to happen, and they would like to, you know, they'll re-list out at the end for auntie, what's her name, and uncle, what his name is, and the building. But you know, there's no belief. There's no fundamental belief that that could ever happen. There's no belief that Jesus is alive to heal today. There's a lot of unbelief in that whole area, and so it often just doesn't manifest. Right? The other thing is, so there's that. The other thing is that quite often we're waiting for a special anointing. We don't need a special anointing. Now you can have a special anointing, as I said earlier on, but people around here sort of blow on people and they get healed, you know, all that kind of stuff. God can show up supernaturally out of the middle of nowhere and heal somebody. It happens. I've heard people being healed in the middle of, you know, after a few, you know, they're saying prayer, been to a service, bang, I knew a guy that was healed at HDB. He went to, on an alpha course, a guy that had terminal cancer. He was about 2 weeks away from death. And he got saved. He wasn't even saved, but he left the meeting calling for the Holy Spirit, went into his room, laid on the floor, burst into tears, swearing, and then that night got supernaturally healed of his terminal cancer. can heal. Amazing man. So there's amazing God can break in under any circumstances heal. Again, we see his will. Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about really here. I'm talking about here is us appropriating, right, that will of God and going with it. Now, there are several. So, okay, moving on to the next things. I just don't want to go just hang around too long. I'm conscious of the time. But basically, there's several ways of going about our walk in healing. Right? So we can preach healing. We can preach healing. And there are people that have gone down the road of just preaching healing. And they just preach healing, and they preach the atonement, and they preach the gospel. As they preach the gospel, they preach healing, and they see healings. So, particularly oddly enough, particularly in non-Christian environments, in non-Christian countries, etc., etc., it's very manifest. As you preach healing, as you preach the atonement, as you preach the gospel, spontaneously. Then there's laying on of hands, right? So I'm going to talk a bit about that in a second. Truth of the matter is, there's not one formula. There's lots of ways of approaching this thing. But as I'm going down, I'm just like pointing there. There's that. There's that. I frankly love the idea of preaching healing, but again, I think it's a lot about faith. There seems to be, and it's also scriptural, that there are seven ways you can preach healing. That healings occur. And sometimes it's by the person who's being prayed for, faith, and we saw that with Jesus. Some people were healed because of their faith, right? But we don't need that, right, when we go out to lay hands on the sick. We don't need the person we're laying hands on or preaching to have any faith at all, because it's through our faith that they get healed, right? So we, when we go out and we lay hands on the sick, it's got nothing to do with how unbelieving the person we're laying a hand on or praying for healing. It's a very important thing to remember. Because sometimes we can be really put off by that. We think, oh no, they don't believe in that stuff, or whatever it might be. Likewise, we don't actually have to tell them the gospel beforehand. Again, our model being Jesus, he didn't always tell them the gospel. He just healed them and then told them what afterwards. And it also works, so it's something I've seen. I once prayed for a guy in the street. A guy was selling the big issue, and he'd been run over by a police car, and his leg was broken in 13 places. He had metal all out of his legs. He had metal bolts sticking out of his legs. And I have to say, I really didn't feel very inspired, right, or anything. I didn't feel a tingle or a rush or anything, but I just sort of went, can I pray for your leg? Because he was hobbling about in a bit of pain. And the whole lot went. The bolts disappeared, his leg grew out, he was just, it was an extraordinary thing. And I was even more shocked than him, really. It just blew my brains. But again, it was just out of, I just think that just out of obedience. We operate out of obedience. We don't need a rush, we don't need a hit, we don't need a touch. We just need a bit of faith, and we don't even need enormous faith. We just need to do it out of obedience.
Yeah.
And we just see stuff manifest. It's a really important thing. So that's the thing. To quote T.L. Osborne, my favourite preacher, particularly on this type of thing, he said there are two types of prayer that unanswered, that go unanswered. The first type of prayer that goes answered is what God is asking for God to do what he's already done. And that's, we see, because if it's already done, it's already done at the cross, right? So if we keep asking God to show up, God's response is, but I already sent you Jesus, right? He already went to the cross. So it's for us to appropriate what's actually been done, right? It's not for us. It's not to keep up. We don't have to ask Jesus to show up again for it. It was achieved at the cross. It's for us to appropriate that. So it's a really important thing. And the other thing is, he always says that TLC is the two parts of that is, one is asking God to do what he already did. And the second thing is to ask him to do what he expects us to do. Right? And which is basically for us to take what is our inheritance, right? What is our inheritance? What have we been given? What have we been given authority to do? when Jesus sent the 72 out, they didn't have to go out and do it himself. He sent out the 72. Mm. Right. And he sends us out, really. Mm. Okay. So so those are the important things. Yes, I'm just rushing forward here. We can't heal ourselves, obviously, but we do operate it with delegated authority of Christ in his name. We have his ministry. Jesus, the only one thing that ministry that the Bible refers to Jesus as having, and that's the ministry of reconciliation, right? We have been also given the ministry of reconciliation. We have the authority and the ministry to reconcile people back to God. So we have the ability and the authority to heal people, because we have the ability to preach and to lay hands and have the power to bring them back to where they were before the fall. Okay, so lastly, I'm now into the practical tips section. And just really quickly, I'll just rush through it quickly. So it's action that activates our faith. So we have faith, right? We have faith to heal, right? But and we have the authority to do so, right? In his name. But it's our action that activates it. So it doesn't. It's not going to manifest unless we give it a go, right? The second thing is, quite often, pretty much everybody that's developed this type of ministry has had to do it lots and lots of times. Sometimes it looked like a fall for a year. Until everything starts coming up, right? So you have to get used to the idea of looking at me like an idiot for quite a few times, but don't worry about it, you just keep pressing it and it grows. It's better to start with stuff that you got faith for. In other words, running after people that are like totally, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, and if you have faith for it, that's great, but it is like a muscle, and you know, going for somebody who's like ear to ear and leg to ear in plaster and trying, do you know what I mean? Is you need faith for it, and if that freaks you out, don't bother. Go for, you know, just grow it. It's easier. The hardest place to heal anybody is the church, right? And the other one's your family, for some reason, but often the case. When you pray for somebody, try and stop them praying. Don't let them pray, right? So when you're praying for somebody, don't let them go, right, because it's somehow they get in the way, right? Religious sort of things and whatever kind of gets in the way. So best to tell them just to relax and chill out and let the Spirit do its work, right? Okay, don't look at the results. If they don't get it healed, one of the mistakes a lot of Christians make, they go, oh, thank you, Father, blah, 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 and nothing happened. They go, and you've killed it. You know, the word is they will recover. They may take 6 months. It doesn't matter. Just believe it. It's going to happen. The other thing is, don't pray for somebody, don't see anything, and then say, well, you better go to the doctor and get some antibiotics, because you just nailed it. You just wrecked what you've done, right? We need to appropriate faith, and we need to continue to do so. Even when we've left that person on the street corner, we go home. We thank God that they're going to be healed. Don't go back on it. Don't keep destroying you've done. It's by faith that this stuff happens, right? You can't keep going back and all over it. So never give up. Start small. Grow faith. It's like a muscle for healing, right? The hardest place to heal at home, right? It's never the victim's fault, right? Never get somebody the impression that it's their fault that they're in a state, whatever it might be. And never give them the impression as well that that if they don't see the thing manifest straight away, that it's that somehow they're God, they're not worthy of God or whatever it might be. It's even worth saying that's not the case. Likewise, it's not our righteousness either, or our holiness, that will make the difference whether people get healed or not. Right? We're all equipped with the Spirit. If we're Holy Spirit filled, and we are, and we're God's people, and we profess Him in His name, we'll see healings. It's got nothing to do with our super holiness or not. In any case, it's His righteousness, His holiness, and His healing, right? Okay. So that was the last bit, and then this was the very last pieces. Now this is really, really, really important. Okay, just the last couple of things. When you pray for somebody, right, and you pray for this person here, and you say, and they've got a bad knee, right? You say, you don't go, oh, God, can you please sharpen and heal this person's knee, right? You don't do that. What you do is you thank God for what he's done and what he's doing for that person's knee, right? Bless them, right? And tell the problem to go away in the name of Jesus. Mm. It's rather like, with the problem, the mountain, and Jesus says to go away. He says, you know, believe, and only believe. He also says, there's a scripture that I shall write down earlier on, that Jesus said, if you believe that it's already done, so when you say pray for something, believe it's already done, and it'll be given to you. So we don't go around here and ask God to sharpen again and heal his knee. He always did, he did it. But we have authority. Speak to the problem. Speak to the issue. Knee be healed in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Go back. Be normal. Speak to the thing, what we command it to do. Command it to behave itself. Likewise, if we're preaching, if we're telling demons to get out, the manifest or whatever, we just tell it to go in the name of Jesus. So that's just the important thing. Just the last bit. One last thing. Just the very last thing, actually. When we pray for somebody, right, our mind, we have a carnal mind and we have a spiritual mind. We really want to be operating out of the spiritual mind when we pray, the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. But we also have the vestige, if you like, of a carnal mind. Our carnal mind, when we're trying to heal people, goes, oh, I don't know how it happened. Why did he look like a fool? He did this the other week and it didn't work. Look, there's some people looking. What are they going to think if they don't get it? Maybe they're going to whatever, you know. That's our carnal mind, right? And it won't stop. The Bible says that the carnal mind is always at enmity with the spiritual mind, right? With the spirit. So we can't suppress as such or get rid of the carnal mind. As we grow in our spiritual walk, we appropriate the likeness and the mind of Christ, right? But we can't get rid of it. We still have an earthly mind. But what we can do is we can get it out of the way, right? And in the healing, I've seen two techniques, and they're just techniques, but why not? You know, they work. There may be more, you know, it doesn't really matter. You may have your own, but really efficient in terms of praying to get your mind out of the way. The first one is to pray so fast that it hasn't got time to click in the gear, right? Okay. So this is the Danish technique. This is the Danish guy who does all this stuff. What he does is he goes, knee be healed in the name of Jesus. Knee be healed in the name of Jesus. How's that feel? Well, a bit better. How much is that? How much better? Oh, it's down from a 6 to 4. Okay. Knee be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, taking this away right now. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Because you don't give your carnal mind the time to click into gear. Because if you hang around too much, it starts going, ooh, you're going to look a bit like a fool. It's not as quick as it should be. You know what I mean? Oh, this is people looking at me. Maybe I'll get arrested. You know, whatever. It starts running all over the place. So you get out of the way by just going very quickly, 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 quickly. The other way of this approach is that, which is another bridge, is the same thing. Is that basically you lay a hand and you tell the thing to go in the name of Jesus, and you then sort of leave your hand there, right, and you just go into kind of neutral. Look at this guy and just sort of hang out. Try to think about nothing at all. Just get everything out of your mind. Get everything out of your mind. Just nothing. Don't think of scripture. Don't pray. Don't do anything. Just put yourself in the biggest neutral state you possibly can. Believe your hand there. Let the spirit work through you. And that is also very efficient. But both the techniques, if you like, are to get your carnal mind out of the way. So that's it, really. That's my little talk. And I hope that helps.
That's wonderful.
So it's a bit of a whistle top, but I don't know if there's anything.
It's really rich, thank you.
Is there anything
questions people have or things they want to bring up, things that spoke to them?